My name is Matt James.
I was in chess club.
Our bachelor doesn't have pants on.
People invite me into their homes on Monday night.
I'm having constant conversations with my mom.
You got people who are cheering for you to find love. I don't want to piss off black people. I don't want to piss off white people. But I'm both of those. That's a lot.
So we're literally back.
Hi.
We're literally here. We're literally talking about the show.
You seem like you're saying literally a lot.
I mean, that was, you know, part of the bit. You know, Victoria said
part of the bit that we just saw.
Yeah, that we just saw that Victoria said literally a lot. So I thought I would introduce the show in the same manner.
You think our listeners are going to remember that?
We'll see.
We'll see.
Literally.
I guess. So it's time for Women Tell All.
So, you know, a lot has been happening.
Okay.
A lot has been happening. So one of the things that the show kind of started off with was to make it clear that this was previously recorded.
This was recorded on February 4th.
Right. It was the first time, I think, that I remember that the show had made a point to let us know that it was recorded at a certain date.
For certain reasons. I don't know if we've ever seen I know for sure we've never seen a date before. I think it may have said previously recorded or previously aired even for us, because we obviously don't watch it at the same time as people in other time zones. We watch it on delay. So I think they get away with aired previously or something. But I think it's definitely the first time.
Yes. And so as we know, all of the back and forth that has gone on within Bachelor Nation, specifically about Chris Harrison's comments about what has been seen from Rachel Kirkconnell's Instagram. Also now Rachel Lindsay has been driven off of Instagram too. So it's an interesting time to watch Women Tell All.
You know what? It's not really an interesting time at all. This was just not a good episode of television.
It definitely wasn't.
For what it's worth, if you're listening at home, I usually have one drink to get myself through the episode of television. I am now drinking through the episode of recording the podcast.
Fun. So
if you hear that, you know, it's not needed. It's makes it a little bit more enjoyable. This is just not a good episode of TV.
No.
If you go back to one of our first episodes, you know, maybe this is the difference between me being, you know, a 33-year-old man now versus, I guess, 24, 25 when
we
started.
Isn't that awful?
I don't feel like it's me that's changed. I'm not any more mature than I was then. The show is just not fun anymore. It's about stupid little girl shit. And it's just, the show has evolved in a way where they have to make every season the most dramatic. And all they do is just pump up the drama, and it's just really not even enjoyable anymore.
The thing that I think Bachelor Nation in a general sense has matured beyond what you're saying, the drama. I think people are sick and tired of seeing, like, you know, girls go back and forth and be catty about stupid stuff. They're tired of, you know, us not showing, you know, deep relationship conversations that will actually possibly result in a long-term relationship. Like, those are the things that I want to see. That's why I feel like Tayshia's season was so good, because it showed like a deep swath of stuff. It was fun. The guys were, you know, very low ego, low drama. The conversations were extremely elevated. And then at the end, I feel like, you know, she picked the right person. Do I think she should have picked Ivan? Maybe. I don't know. But I think Zach was the right person for her. I enjoyed watching that season.
Maybe.
And they didn't need all that confusion with Claire and stuff at the beginning. Like, that was all that added drama that the show, for some reason, feels like people need. When in reality, I just want to see two people, like, actually get together.
I don't even want to see that. I just want to see a group of people having fun together in the same place. And that just doesn't happen anymore.
So we need to watch Love Island. We need to stop watching.
I don't need to watch any of this. I'm not going to start something new for the express purpose of that. I do this because I have a community of people who watch it with me and endure it. You know, it makes it easier for me to watch this show because I know that all of my friends who listen to the show are also doing that. But, you know, man, I feel like this was just such
it was a drag.
It was so weird. So I'm going to be drinking through the episode. Our producer is licking my feet right now. I can't.
And that's just how it is.
It's kind of weird, but I can't really stop it.
So I think the other thing that was kind of annoying was that, like, with everything that's been going on, like, going back and rewatching all of this is just so, it just felt really tone deaf. So they announced the host for After the Final Rose, and it's Emmanuel Acho.
He is a football player. He's a real life NFL football player. Not one of these guys who's like, yeah, I play football. You know, like Dale. Like, I play football. I've never played a down or caught pass or made a tackle or anything, but I play football. No, this guy's an actual real life player.
Yes. And so he has a current YouTube series and a book called Conversations with a Black Man, or Hard Conversations with a Black Man, something like that. And so I think appropriate for the time. And based on what we now are understanding. So we'll see. Anyway, on to the Women Tell All. Basically, the whole first segment was all about the toxicity in the house and how everybody hated each other. How do you think it went, Adam?
I was so uncomfortable. So here's something, and this is definitely unique. As I'm comparing this season to other seasons, you know, our previous, I don't know what, 17 seasons of this. It's so weird now that all of the women are their own little mini Instagram celebrities.
Right.
And essentially nobody will back down from anything. It's, I don't know. Everyone always wants to make themselves the victim of everything. And even when they're obviously the one who committed the sins in the first place.
Exactly.
You know, MJ and Jasenia, we get this, and nobody's real. They rehash their thing. Everyone's like, hey, it's sort of your fault. You know, don't worry about me. You know, Victoria, who I honestly never did a nice thing to anybody the entire time she was on. She thinks she's the victim because people are
crying as a result. Like,
I think, yeah. Please. So the part of this that we talk about, and the part of this that I think everybody talks about, is how you can go on this show and you, a regular person who's only 20 and good for absolutely nothing, can get millions of people to follow you on Instagram. Mm-hmm. And everyone goes, that sounds great. What nobody is ready for is when people start talking to and about you, a regular person, on Instagram, and it destroys some of these women. And you know what? I feel like they deserve it.
I mean, on some level, like, the validation that comes with, you know, finally being Instagram famous, and it does come with some stuff. So, you know,
there's a side effect of it.
Yeah.
It's not just that people follow you and like your stuff and go, you're so great. You know, there's people who watch it, especially on this show where you know they're going to edit you into being the most extreme version of something.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah.
And I don't think they're ready for it. Victoria especially.
Absolutely not. And so, anyway, so we talk about that. And I think the big thing here is that, you know, all the people that initially thought that they were the ones that were being wronged or were actually wronging people did not really redeem themselves. So
it's just meta drama. It's drama about drama. It's a bunch of women sitting around being like, I didn't start it. You started it. I'm perfect. And I don't know. It's just, am I too old for this? I don't know. Like, this is exactly what The Bachelor thinks. This is the product they think they need to put on the air. Yes,
exactly.
Why is that happening?
I don't know. And then I think it's also even more jarring seeing it after Tayshia's season, when I feel like Tayshia's season actually was what people wanted to see.
I don't know. I'm fine with the contest. I want to watch a contest. Right. That's fine. It's dramatic enough to me.
What drama?
To just have people, you know, coming and going and, like, advancing. It's dramatic enough to me that three people get eliminated at the end of every episode.
Sure.
That's enough.
I'm into that.
I'm fine with that.
I love that.
I don't need there to be stupid little people who hate each other along the
way. No.
I don't get it. I just don't. Nothing makes that fun for me.
No.
And sitting and watching a rerun of it all and then watching the girls get in other fights about the fights. This is just not compelling television for me.
It's definitely
is compelling podcast radio to me.
Right.
Obviously.
Sure.
I mean, and all of our listeners, hopefully. But it's just, I don't know. We have slid into a weird spot on this show.
Yeah, and I will be curious to see how the show sort of moves on from a lot of what's going on. I mean, not just this particular season was really bad for, I think, the reputation of the show for many different reasons. I think a lot of people, as they think about Bachelor in Paradise or whatever, have said at least that they're going to boycott the show. You know, they've been showing these ads for the senior bachelor or bachelorette. What's that about?
Yo, I don't want to be like, I'm interested in this.
But
the problems is a loose word.
Yes.
The things that I don't enjoy about the 20-year-old version, I think 100% of them are corrected.
I agree.
It would make it extremely difficult for me to do my power rankings.
Because all of these women could be...
Because I probably wouldn't be...
Your mother?
I wouldn't be physically attracted to any
of them. You know what? Listen.
I don't think I know
Jennifer Lopez is 50 years old.
I don't think she needs to be on the show.
No,
there's a realistic possibility of that.
I'm just saying you have the capacity to be attracted to a woman who could be on the senior bachelor, bachelorette.
Yeah.
It could happen for you.
I'm not denying the capacity. Listen, I'm denying the
we've
reality.
We've all seen Helen Mirren in a bikini.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The senior version, you know.
It could be cute.
Like, color me intrigued.
It could be cute.
It just, all of this garbage would go away.
Yeah.
The competitive, you know, the race would still be there.
I agree. So, we'll see. Anyway, so that was the first
segment. So, we started off with a bang.
The second part of it really was kind of Brittany coming on to sort of, you know, share her experience of being on the show. As we all remember, Anna started spreading around a rumor that she heard through Instagram DMs. Like, can somebody turn off Instagram? Can they just turn it off? Is there a switch somewhere?
Does
Mark Zuckerberger have it? Like, what's going on?
We are worse as a society because of this.
I know.
You know, absolutely. Especially 20-year-olds.
So, Brittany basically comes on and says, like, this was a horrible experience for me. Like, you know, I will now have to defend myself forever because if anybody Googles my name, the first 20 search results are all going to be about me.
I hadn't thought about that, but that's really serious.
And, like, she made the point of saying, you know, sex work is work, but that's not who I am. And, you know, now I have to have this following me around. Like, imagine if she... And she's not, and I don't know what her, like, real life career is, but, like, imagine if she was trying to pass the bar. Imagine if she was, like, a lawyer and somebody was asking them to defend her, and this would be one of the search results that came up. Like,
or just, like, dating any regular
person.
Or
she was dating a
regular person. Who hasn't Googled somebody?
Or, yeah.
You know, the second you start dating them, you go, I'll Google this person.
Yeah. And so, you know, it was interesting when they were talking about sort of what happened to Brittany. Nobody said Anna's name in particular.
The camera people were like, okay, one camera on everything happening, one camera on Anna's face all the time. We kept going to her.
But it was very specific where they said she never reached out to me. She never said anything. So it was very, it seemed odd that Brittany didn't specifically say Anna didn't do X, Y, and Z. And so she basically detailed her story that she has not spoken to Anna since she apologized that night that she left. And then after that, you know, basically she just had to kind of go home and, you know, figure it out on her own. She didn't talk to her family. She didn't really do anything. But I think she, unfortunately, I don't want to say this, handled it really well. And she was able to say, like, you know, I don't want anybody to feel bad for me. I don't want anybody to, like, take this as a poor me. I'll be okay. But just know that when you say stuff like this, it really impacts people's lives.
I was on Team Brittany is Great for the whole time.
You were.
So thank you for finally acknowledging this, like, five episodes too late. I feel like the show, it's so weird that, you know, Chris Harrison sits there and he gives you this straight face, like, this is so serious. I feel so bad. This must be so bad for you. It's his fault.
Yeah.
all of this is Chris Harrison's fault.
All of this is Chris Harrison's fault. Yeah.
Like,
exactly.
Anna didn't just say this. One of the producers was like, oh my God, what have you been hearing about Britney? Maybe you should tell Jessenia. Maybe you should tell MJ. Right. Maybe you should tell people.
Right.
And
like you're, and then giving her the reason to say, you're just trying to protect your relationship with Matt. That's all you're trying to do.
They made her do this. That's exactly number one. Right. And then they devoted, an episode and a half or whatever of television mm-hmm. to it. And I feel like we have just lost the fun competition of this. And we've made everything so serious and dramatic. It doesn't need to be that way.
Yeah.
We should be laughing with these people.
Right.
Not feeling sorry about or for them. You know, that's just not... How is that compelling television? Here's a character whose life was ruined because of something we did.
Right.
You know, maybe life was ruined is too much. But, like, here's somebody who has endured a serious, you know, personal shaming. I don't know. What are we supposed to connect with that as a viewer? I don't really get it. I don't know why this was on part of the season. I don't know why the producers made it part of the season. You know, made it in terms of... encourage the characters to do it and left it in all the edits and everything.
Right.
And then I don't get why we've chosen this over the fun stuff that we know is happening that they're not actually airing.
Exactly. And so to move on from that, you know, Britney really seemed like she kind of, you know, got herself in a pretty good place. Anna, you know, basically said, I apologize and I'm sorry that I was basically being myself and ruined your life, but I'm going to go on and, you know, be fine or whatever. So then we get all of this footage of all of these dates that had great content that we didn't see. And now you realize how much time we were spending on shit that didn't matter.
So everything until now mm-hmm. has just been needless drama.
Yes.
And then for one act of television, they show us, I don't know, four or five things that they recorded but didn't air that were all awesome.
Awesome.
These things were funny. They're, like, telling about the women. You know, it's a whole new side of their personality. Mm-hmm. And then we get that one act of television, and then everything after that, back to being serious. Back to Chris Harrison going,
yes.
You really were affected by this.
Right.
You really did cry.
Right.
That is bad television. I hope somebody from The Bachelor is listening to this at some point and goes, maybe we should just make good television, you know, with people who are enjoyable.
Right.
Let's talk about the good parts, though. Tell us what aired now that didn't air during the actual
show. So there were three different moments from a couple of different dates that were absolutely incredible. So first, I think it was the date that Ben Higgins was on, where one of the challenges was to have the girls eat a pancake stack and a keg of beer back to back. Incredible. I want to see more food challenges, especially with girls that look like they don't eat.
I was going to say, what do you want to see about it? Just the anorexics doing, you know, meeting their match here?
No. I want to see more of, like, the competitive side. I want to see, you know, how the girls cheat. I want to see, you know, who's sort of sitting there and slowly eating the pancakes and going, oh my God, these are really good. Like, I want to see things like that. I want to see that.
You know what I
want to see? And I also want to see, like, Ben Higgins in a different light than we've seen him in previous seasons. Like, he's pretty clean cut, straight laced, and like him sort of egging the girls on to eat all of this food is a departure from what we are used to, I think.
So what I was going to say is something very similar to that. What is interesting to me about the pancake beer, like, chug thing is that you're forcing these women to do something that is outside of their pre-cultivated Instagram persona that they're trying so hard to preserve.
Yes.
And, you know, obviously, plug for me and my friends, we used to do stuff like this all the time.
Yes.
You know, quart of ice cream, two jumbo snow bizzes, you know, the bladder buster chug, we've already talked about it. This stuff, number one, super good bonding experience.
It's a great bonding experience.
I like things that make the women in the house closer together.
Yes.
You know?
More of that.
I like that, number one. And number two, I really do. I think it's fun, you know, when you present them with something that just goes in such an opposite direction of, like, the image they're trying to cultivate. You know, like the pretty woman date. That takes them exactly where they want to go.
Exactly.
It says, look at me. I'm a person so beautiful that a designer would want to put their stuff on me as an advertisement.
Mm-hmm.
Or... you know, like, they're in control of so much of the way they're perceived, and I think it makes them on point to protect against that. And what you see is really disingenuous.
Which is why I like so many of the group dates, and I'll keep picking on Tayshia season because I think that's the most recent one that we kind of have as
a guinea pig. That was a good season.
I mean, that was a good season. Like, the dates, that the group dates that they had were really about, you got a chance to get to know each one of those guys. The creativity dates that they had, the school dates that they had, the, like, they had, like, a newlywed game date, like, all of those things were really, really fun. Like, sure, you've got the physical challenge parts because obviously everybody wants the guys to take their clothes off.
Muscle milk.
But, like, seeing the guys sort of do that art challenge when, I mean, now granted, all everything.
That was beautiful.
Brendan.
It was beautiful.
And Ben came out and he was like, I'm naked. I'm giving my whole body to you. But, like, you know, but that was deep. I want to see that.
But that's the same thing I'm saying, is where you take. All of these guys have their pre-cultivated image of who they want to come out of the show
as. Yes.
And none of them were like, I want it to come out that I'm really good at art and that I'm really in touch with my feelings.
No, they came out as real people.
You do something that you're not ready for, you know?
Exactly.
It's not just that I love eating and drinking, which I do,
you do.
By the way. Currently drinking on the episode. Eating is my number one pastime.
Moments ago, you were eating.
It's my favorite hobby in the world. Just make everyone do something they're not good at and also don't want to do.
Right.
That'll show you what your person is like.
Exactly.
I would have loved to see this on TV. And it's just fun.
It's just fun.
At the end of the day, too.
It's just fun.
It's just fun. Nobody's feelings are going to get hurt.
No.
Nobody's going to get called another name or whatever. We're just going to eat pancakes.
It's going to
get syrupy.
And we're having
here.
A good time.
That's it.
Like, they also did a hide and seek date that I thought was really fun. That basically Matt went and hid in the woods, and then all the women had to find him, and whoever found him got to go into the hot tub with him. And Kit was walking around like,
Kit's never been in the woods.
You know, I don't
like
the woods. You know, I can't be in the woods, guys. Like, that was funny. I want to see that.
See, I haven't.
That gives me more personality out of Kit because I'm like, okay. Of course Kit doesn't want to be in the
clueless.
Woods.
Clueless.
Of course Kit doesn't want to be in the woods. She's like, outside? What? The ground? I don't think so.
So what, do I just take the L train?
Right.
Or what? Well, I guess she's from Chicago. Or she's from New York, not Chicago.
I love
so
how
she
you say she's
L.
from New York. She is New York.
She emerged from New York.
She is New York. She is like Eloise at the Plaza.
Well, I have a different feeling about the hide and seek one. Because it appears that what happened is exactly the downside of this. Where a handful of people win early and get to hang out. And, you know, somebody's just wandering around in the woods.
Which is funny!
To me, see, I don't want to watch people who are being uncomfortable. I don't like that.
I think the beauty
Maybe
of Kit...
Maybe don't do it just in the woods.
But the beauty of Kit out of everybody being uncomfortable is that it is this beautiful fish out of water experience. Kit wears Gucci stockings. For her to be walking around the woods looking for some guy... is hilarious. It's like watching a rom-com where the guy is like gruff and like, it's like watching Leap Year. Did you ever watch Leap Year, the rom-com?
I don't know what that
where
is.
Where Amy Adams goes to Ireland and she meets Matthew Good and he's sort of this gruff Irish guy and she's like uptight and wound up. You've seen this romantic comedy. If it's not Leap Year, it's
Why?
A totally different movie.
Why would I have seen that? I, for the record, have not seen that movie. Also, for the record, have never heard you promote an Amy Adams movie.
Thank you, but I'm only saying
You're
this
mortal enemy.
I'm saying this out of a pure example. I will go back to hating her in about 3 seconds. So, like, it's the fish out of water. It's the dichotomy. It's the opposites attract. It's oil and water. It's the odd couple. Like, that is why Kit running around in the woods is
so
funny.
Okay, so I think if I were to restructure, I think the hide and seek date, whatever, it could be fun. Just do it in a contained environment.
Sure.
You know? So that's that.
And then also on the boxing date, they were chugging eggs at one point. Like, I want to see that. That's more food, weird stuff. The bug scavenger hunt was great. Like, all of that.
Yeah, they did. The last date was, I guess it was kind of a group date, but they did it in smaller groups. It was like a Fear Factor date where there were rings inside of a box.
Show me this!
Rings inside of a box. But the box wasn't just the ring.
What's
in the box? It was also insects. And they had to like reach in blind through this hole and feel around until they got the ring.
Right.
you know, more things that take people out of their comfort zone are good.
Right.
Things that make people hate other people are not good.
Which is like sitting around and talking, that's what makes people hate other people. And just like you said, Adam, like there is something in like that form and version of competition. Don't get excited because I'm saying that you're right. There is something in that form of competition that does help you understand who you want to be with long term.
I mean, but also the idea that I don't know, that you need to have drama with other people, or like that the only way to find, this is a show about love. You can find that out.
Yeah.
Without coming at the cost of another human being.
That is correct. You know? That is correct.
You don't have to generate equal and opposite negative feelings, you know.
But, you know, here we are.
I just don't like it that everybody's so mad at each other.
Yeah.
That makes me, and maybe this is because I'm drinking during the show, it makes me uncomfortable that people are just angry at each other.
You hate it when people are upset. I think with each
other. The job of any human being who has ever been alive has been to make everybody else feel better about themselves.
Yeah, but you
this
know
show
what?
Does the opposite of that.
Yeah, but you know, I'll be honest with you, Adam. People are and so until people stop
you know
being
what? To promote that on television.
I'm not trying to promote it. I'm just trying to keep it all the way funky.
We don't need to advertise that and create more of it, you know?
I hear you.
Anyway.
So, look at all these dates that we missed out on.
They were all so good.
And also, we missed JoJo and Tayshia coming and hanging out with Matt and eating chicken wings. Is there anybody that would have loved that more than me and you?
Listen, chicken wings, I'm in.
Tayshia's
chicken wings? Oh, my God.
Bingo. JoJo and her new face? Yeah.
JoJo,
I'd entertain it.
I could care less about that.
I'd entertain it.
But, yeah, you mean to tell me there was chicken wing content we cut out?
See, they spent, and I was looking on the Bachelor Data Instagram, and one of the episodes, I think it was the last episode that Sarah was on, they always do a pie chart, basically, of how much screen time everybody got. Sarah got 33% of screen time on her episode. And I think she was only on the show for that first 40 or 45 minutes. There was so much stuff that we should have seen.
We spent so much time on Katie's drama, yep. On Sarah's drama, yep. On Victoria's drama. Yep. MJ turned from a bad guy to a good guy to a bad guy again.
Yeah.
Like, we spent so much time on the people we're supposed to hate. Like, you know, we spent so much time on the villains. This has been such an unenjoyable season because of all the villains are the only thing on the air.
And yet...
Meanwhile, Serena P is the perfect human being, you know.
And yet we're sitting here spending all this time on these people, and Michelle says things like, you know, Michelle's family talks about what happened to her 2 years ago. Girl, what happened 2 years ago? Or like...
The world will never know.
No one will ever know. Or like people are talking about bad relationships that they've been in. Serena P, who was a front runner, we never heard about what that rad relationship was about.
Brie,
show me that.
Brie quit her job. What does she do?
Brie literally quit her job. What is happening? Anyway, so let's get into the people that went on the couch with
Okay, so the good part of the actual television episode is over at this point.
Yeah.
It was one act long. It's over. And I will talk about these in order, but they're all... What happened next was a parade of about four women who came up to the couch for mm-hmm. one act each.
Yeah.
And they all got to be really sad and serious with Chris Harrison, mm-hmm. and nobody said anything. It was a carbon copy times four. And, you know, it kind of sucked.
It was basically... everybody's chance to try out for The Bachelorette. I think some people did better than others.
I think you're right, but it sucks that without the human audience there to give you feedback in real time, you know, it kind of loses the effect.
I agree.
Right?
So first up was Katie. I mean, Katie obviously was a fan favorite for a long time, and, you know, her sort of general...
she tells it like it is.
Tells it like it is-ness was... a nice departure for this season because of how things went. I mean, how do you think she did?
Well, I think she did exactly the opposite. You like her because she tells it how it is, but when she was up there, she was so rehearsed and practiced and serious. Mm-hmm. She said stuff like, you know, I'm 30 and I'm still single. And like, you know, I don't care.
Mm-hmm. And that doesn't make you a redeemable character.
Anytime anybody on the show goes, no, I'm different because I feel this way, I think you're not mature enough to be in a relationship.
Yeah.
Or just a functioning part of society. So I don't know. I like Katie during the season. I think it is valuable to have somebody who will say things to people in a, not even a confrontational, just like an informative adult way. That's great. I think she finished too far back to be the Bachelorette. I don't feel like I need to see more of Katie, you know?
Yeah.
I don't feel like she was particularly good here. She didn't say anything of note. Mm-hmm. She just said, yeah, I'm 30, I'm still single. What's the problem?
Yeah. And she basically, her narrative was, you know, I really learned a lot about myself and about who I want and who I want to be. And
just so stock. That's the stock photography of Bachelor conversation.
Like, okay, cool. So I think out of everybody, Abigail probably is my pick for who landed the, you know, potential Bachelorette interview.
Interesting, because I don't agree with that.
Okay.
You should go first.
I think the big thing here is that, unfortunately, and I hate to say this, Abigail's, her experience as being someone who is part of the deaf community is probably very attractive for the producers. And if we're being honest, for ABC, based on some of the things that have gone on, I think she came off as the most genuine and the person that is still sort of quote unquote looking for love, rather than someone who seems like they are a whole person and can, you know, might not need the show to find their person.
I feel like the problem with Abigail is that in episode one, she was great. She was perfect. And then she just sort of stopped having fun. She started worrying about how well she was doing, and she started worrying about him, you know, growing with the other women and all that stuff. And then she lost track of the fun parts of this whole thing and just got so neurotic and inside of her own mind, and it just sabotaged her. I don't know. I'm not entirely sure I'd want to watch a season of that.
I agree. And I think her thing with Matt, I can see how that was really jarring for her, because everything was going great, and then all of a sudden he turned it off.
But like, that's the cost of doing business. You're on a show where one man dates 30 women. You can't be upset when he's dating other women. That's just, you got to know what you're getting into.
And that's another thing. As they continued to talk to the women about, you know, what was going on and showing them different footage of things, that everybody said, I didn't watch the show, or I didn't watch that, or it's interesting how many people didn't.
Maybe they just listen to our podcast. We always say, don't watch the show. Just listen to our podcast.
Oh, we always say that.
Maybe they finally started taking our advice. Maybe they didn't listen to the show and they did just listen to our podcast.
Maybe. So I thought she had a pretty good showing, and, you know, they don't always pull out sort of the, let me show you what people have been saying about you stuff. And so I thought that was a really unique moment for me to think, huh, they're thinking about her a little bit harder than other people.
I mean, it's good for her. I want her to be encouraged and everything, but I need somebody who can be spontaneous, charismatic, you know, fun. I don't feel like she did that after the first episode.
I think you're reading into this in a way that is based on what we saw on the show. That, like, we only saw the drama. We only saw Sarah. We only saw, like, all these other people.
They ruined this whole
show.
And
so we don't know if Abigail is fun. I mean, Abigail seems like she was fun and exciting and all that kind of stuff, especially when she was talking to Matt about their, you know, little, the ear tug thing and everything. Like, that was fun. She seemed like she was fun. And especially on that date that they didn't show, she was having a great time.
I mean,
but we just didn't get to see it.
That's a good point. We will never know what this season has robbed from us.
Michelle. Who would have thought Michelle doing the push-ups and making jokes? We never would have seen that Michelle had a great personality. And we didn't know until that blooper.
I just don't know why the show is like this. So Katie and Abigail, I don't think they were too different. Also not too different was Piper. She's our third one up in the series of identical interviews. Anything you took away from her that was unique or memorable?
I think I think them having Piper sort of on the couch was particularly interesting because she didn't say anything when she left.
I think she was really upset.
Oh, definitely upset, which is totally warranted on her part, I think. But, you know, she also didn't say anything that really changed my life. She didn't say anything that made me feel like, oh, man.
She's so hot.
She's very pretty.
She's so hot.
She's very pretty. She also didn't say anything to me that made me feel like, okay, let's open the door for this. I think in another life, if Paradise was still on the table, of course, all three of these women would be easy candidates for Paradise.
I think Piper and Jesenia are the two best Paradise candidates, I think, from this season.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not the two best for actual Bachelorette, but for Paradise, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that Piper did say that also a lot of women said was that I wasn't paying attention. You know, the reason for my failings in terms of how I took our relationship and where it was going was that I wasn't paying attention to the other relationships that he was having with other women. That's a weird thing to say because how would you know?
But also, the whole reason you're here is because he's having relationships with all these other
women. And then the whole thing is that you're supposed to be focused on your percent. Like, you're focused on your relationship. You're not worried about anybody else's. Like, that is the worst thing that you can do is come on this show and then worry about what somebody else is doing. At some point, he just didn't like you, and then that's just got to be okay.
So the tell-all episodes, they're always like this, where, mm-hmm. you know, and I don't... the show likes to do this. They go, why wasn't it this woman? Why wasn't it this one? The show is not about determining who it's not.
Yeah.
You know, nobody wins. Like, one person wins. At most, one person can win. Everyone else loses. There is no such thing as second place, third place, whatever. And like I said a week or two ago, you know, it's not always a tie. Mm-hmm. If there are four women left, he's probably already picked one.
Oh, yeah.
And you might think you're in second or you're in third or you're in fourth. You're just in not first.
Yeah.
It's not a tie. You're not winning or you are winning. That's just the way it is. You don't need to sit there and say, why don't you like me? Because it's just not, you don't think it. It's chemical.
Yeah.
He's into somebody else.
Yeah.
Like, sorry, you know. And Piper, they use Piper's time to sort of abuse their like pre-approved terminology too. They're like, you said you were falling in love with him. Mm-hmm. Do you wish you would have said you were in love with him?
Right.
You know, this show.
The fake timeline.
They have done such a good job of just trademarking these stages
mm-hmm.
that, you know, you get to a point where you go, well, yeah, you have to be falling in love with someone before you are in love with them. Right. You have to be. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't happen like on a track like that.
I think Piper is a good person. I think she's good television. I wish she wasn't on this season.
Yeah.
It's just so serious and bad. She could be a star in... Well, she was a star in this season.
She was a star in this season. So finally, we also sat down and talked to Serena P. And I think this one was the like closest to... I don't know... was the closest to it for anybody since we just saw her go home last week. I think the big thing here is that Serena was the one to break up with Matt, I think, and we didn't expect it to happen like that.
You did.
We.
You did. You can say it. You did. I didn't.
You did not expect it to happen like
that. I wanted her to be on the show for forever because she's the perfect woman.
I know. I know you did. But
I'm sorry, because I'm sitting here with the perfect woman.
Aw, boo. She's asleep.
She's asleep under my feet. She's asleep under my feet after licking my toes.
He's talking about the dog.
I'm not talking about you.
He's talking about the dog.
Talking about busy. I like Serena. I wish she had some sort of potential to show some personality here, but she didn't. It was so sad. It was like, what happened? Why did you break up? Seems like your family didn't like you. Your family told you didn't like you. I don't know.
Did you feel like she really had anything to say? Did you feel like this, you know, did you feel like we needed this?
They did need to put her on the couch.
Yeah.
Because she's the most recently eliminated person mm-hmm. and also just the best quality person. I don't know. All four of these interviews were just so poorly done by Chris Harrison.
Yeah.
They were so sober and so serious. Mm-hmm. It was like, you know... Like, they all needed to be talked off of a cliff where they're like, no, you're still valuable.
Right.
You know, what's
You're still valuable to me and the show. and the franchise. You will make me money for this 2 years
just,
at least.
This was just not fun. No. It's the tone was horrible.
But again, the tone is bad because of what they ended up focusing on. Of course the tone was like that. Because Serena P was probably one of the most fun people in the house.
She's so fun. She's like, she's my fake Canada date. You know? Yep. She, you don't need to draw it out of her. Yeah. It's there.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know.
I don't know. So
this is The Bachelor. This is what we are now.
This is what has happened. So I think now that we're done with the Women Tell All, so then Matt was next and, you know, he came out and did the obligatory, like, you know, what have you learned? What have you thought about? The only thing that I really didn't appreciate was that basically he came out and sort of validated all of the behavior of the bad actors in the house. Like, he basically came out and said, you know, I know that you all were put in a strange situation, but, you know, I would never have anything bad to say about any of you. You're all good people, that kind of thing, which I thought was kind of like, I didn't need that. I didn't need you to come out and say, you know, oh, you had a bad week.
He had a really practiced, practiced non-aggressive, you know, and I don't know what he's supposed to do. He's not going to convince anybody that they were the bad guy and they need to change their ways or anything. The thing that's interesting to me from this is going to get crazy. Okay. Oh. We're going to take a turn here.
Oh,
so like,
hold on, let me hold on.
Right. This is just some advanced three-dimensional empathy here.
Oh, here we go.
So you got to go into Matt's head and you got to say, well, Matt was never a contestant on the show, so he doesn't really know what's going on. He doesn't understand there. But I think there's another level of this where you say, Matt can't really be too angry at these women because he can't say something like, I was in your shoes and I know it's possible to do better.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I want to say that he should have said something different, but the questions asked to him were really bad. He's just another victim of, this show was just bad.
Yeah.
Chris Harrison and the producers just did a really bad job of giving us watchable television here.
Yeah.
It was the least interesting thing, you know, that's been on an episode of this program in a long time.
And so obviously the obligatory sort of statements of like, why wasn't it me came out, but it also didn't seem
like... I don't like you. I don't know why that's not an acceptable thing. I just don't
like
you.
Like, sorry.
Why wasn't it me?
Yeah.
Why wasn't it Katie, Abigail, Piper, Serena? Why wasn't it me? Why wasn't it me? I don't like you. Well, except for Serena. She just didn't like him, but...
Yikes.
That's fine.
That's fine?
That's dating. You're allowed to like people and not like them without an explanation. You're just allowed to.
Exactly.
It's fine.
So that was pretty much it. Matt's got his, as I like to say, I'm single beard.
He does have a noticeable beard.
I've been peddling this theory, and I've been saying it for weeks, because I've been seeing Matt do some press one-off.
Does he have a beard in the press?
Oh, yeah. He's had the beard in the press that he's been doing.
Is it longer now?
No,
because this was filmed in February.
It's the same. as we were reminded earlier. It's the same beard. So, like, he's had this beard for a while. Like, it's the kind of beard that Same length. So, it seems like it takes a while for that kind of beard to grow and get that thick, if you will. My theory, and this can be the start of our bold predictions, that's the beard of a single man. That's not the beard of somebody that is brand new in love, hugged up on somebody, can't keep their hands off of them. That is a militant beard.
So the teaser for next week gave us a new piece of information that we did not previously know.
Right.
And that is that Matt's father makes an appearance and has a long conversation with him.
Yes.
Where there appear to be...
Some
accusations?
Some tensions have been thrown around. Now, as we know about Matt, his dad essentially left him and his family when he was like 2. And so they've always
And has
had...
only now appeared because he's on national television?
Right, and so he's also been very clear that they had a fraught relationship, or he doesn't really have a relationship with his dad. So I'm curious to see how they will bring his father into the fold. Obviously, his dad's sort of response is that of... Many, I'm not going to be specific, fathers in this position, they might say something like, don't take it personally. It wasn't about you. Like, I don't know why you're still holding on to this. You know, the kind of things that, you know, children don't really want to hear from a man who is their father who has abandoned them. You know?
Second opinion here. This is an add-on. It's not a different one. You know, even for a person, like, I have a good relationship with my father. We talk all the time. He has never tried to give me advice on who I should or should not be with. He's basically always just like, listen, if you're into somebody, go for it. I'm into it. You make whatever decision you want to make, and I will support it.
That's great. The way it goes. That sounds great.
You mean to tell me if this person came out of nowhere, mm-hmm. basically only because now I'm on TV.
A little bit.
And was like, I feel like I should be giving you guidance on a relationship, which, by the way, I never did right. I would be like, who the hell are you to say that? Of course you can't say
Adam,
that.
Your insights and foresights are just always that of someone who has a psychology philosophy minor.
Whoa.
I gave you an extra degree, excuse me.
No, I have psychology and philosophy. You took away my creative writing minor.
Nobody's talking about
which
that
is making
one at
this
all.
Into a beautiful story in my mind right now.
A narrative.
We love a narrative. I mean, honestly, is this a Midwestern parents thing where they don't feel like they should give you advice? Is this just a my family thing?
That's a your family thing, very strongly.
Do other dads feel like they can tell their sons who they should be dating without having met them?
Is
that a thing that happens?
Just solely talking about what we've seen on this show since we've been doing it, you know that that is true. You know that that is very true. That all of these fathers, if we're just talking about dads, specifically tell their children, don't marry this person. I don't like this person. Are you sure you're making the right decision? I don't know. If you're happy, I'm happy. All of that language is very much that.
That seems so impossible.
I'm so sorry for you. Not to mention any black and brown parents who are just basically like, if you don't do exactly what I do, you're disrespecting me.
That is so foreign to me.
I'm so sorry.
It is impossible. The idea of imagining my dad sitting me down and being like, you have to marry this person or you can't marry this person. That's impossible.
Oh.
That could not happen.
Imagine your dad telling you where to go to school and that you had to go get a certain kind of degree.
Listen, my parents should
have.
Should have told me to go. We've talked about this before. My parents should not have said, you can be whatever you want to be. They should have said, you can be any kind of lawyer you want to be. They should have said that because that will pay the bills. With respect to content marketing, which I do every day and I'm very happy to do, I could pay the bills with a law degree too.
So I think this Matt's dad showing up is probably the boldest of predictions that
it's like the only moment that happens.
That is the only thing that I was solely focused on. And so like that shot that they keep showing of Matt like sitting on the curb crying with Chris Harrison, that in no way, shape or form is like one of the women walking away. That is no way, shape or form of him breaking up with somebody. I think that is Matt's come down from his discussion with his father, because that is going to be probably one of the roughest moments of this season, regardless of what the outcome is.
You know what? More
be.
Television I don't want to watch.
That it's going to be some dark stuff. It's going to be really, really intense.
I used to come away from the show giggling, laughing, whatever. Now I just feel bad for people.
That ain't it, babe. So
this is terrible.
So the only other bold prediction that I can think of is that, you know, we're going to get a bit of a Peter Weber here, that, you know, Matt is going to have fantasy suite date experiences.
I was
going to
say, for our listeners who don't know what that means, and only for our listeners who don't remember, you know, not that any of the co-hosts would completely not remember that season at this point, but for our listeners, what does that mean?
Sure. I think we're going to get a bit of a Peter Weber here. And by a Peter Weber, I mean we are going to get a particular order of the women are going to go on the fantasy suite dates. And I think Rachel is going to be last and she's going to have a meltdown about going last, knowing that Matt is going to be spending one-on-one intimate fantasy time with people that aren't her.
I see.
That's what those tears are. And I think maybe in that time frame, she might come in early or might, you know, say something to Matt that might give him an inkling that, like, if you do something like this, I'm not going to be part of the experience. Because it's also clear that if you really watch the trailer, you don't see a date with Rachel. You just see her crying.
Rachel!
You see a date with Michelle where they're doing, like, it looks like a mud bath. And then they're doing rappelling off of a building. And then you see a date with Brie where they're doing, like, some kind of morning after something.
Your mind and my mind just function. I just watched the same thing as you.
I don't know why you didn't see all this.
Well, the thing is, I did see it. It went inside my eyeballs. I went inside my eyeballs.
It disintegrated.
Rattled around in my brain and then exited my ears. Listen, I trust you. I know you're telling me the truth. And I know that I just watched it.
So that's
my bold. But that's the first time I've ever heard of it.
Those are my bold predictions. So obviously Matt's dad is going to be a huge problem. Rachel could be a flight risk, but, you know, I think that might be interesting based on
I guess we're going to have to watch another episode.
We're going to have to watch another episode, and you're going to be very sad about it and very upset. Because it is going to be not fun.
They can turn this around.
Okay.
Not this season. This season is lost.
This season is shot.
This is doable. They'll listen to the show. They'll learn. They'll fix it. Next season will be more fun. We'll all laugh. You know, we'll all eat pancakes or whatever. It'll be a good time.
I like waffles.
We will have a good show no matter what.
Okay.
So, anyway.
Okay.
All right. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
You know, you're afraid of getting your heart broken because it's a grind.
When that limo pulls up,
you have a lot of distractions. And when you're vulnerable and you put yourself out there like that, then enjoy the process. There's not a lot of meaning in that stuff. And I'm looking for something meaningful. You know, you're afraid of getting your heart broken because it's a grind.
When that limo pulls up,
you have a lot of distractions. And when you're vulnerable, when you put yourself out there like that, enjoy the process. There's not a lot of meaning in that stuff. And I'm looking for something meaningful.